Thank you for joining me for the webcast today. It is January the 2nd, 2012. This is John Coleman in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on this very wonderful sunny day, very busy day also. I'll be so busy, I won't even know what to do after my busy day, but just crash. Thank you for coming to the website. I thought that I would answer a guy named Scott Newman on the Biblical Theology and Apologetics Group blog on Facebook. Scott asked a question, and the question was, does God love the sinner and hate only the sin? That sounds nice, but is it scriptural? What saith you? Well, I wrote Scott and told him that I wasn't going to answer on the blog because I don't believe in going back and forth to all these people I don't know on blogs. But since they did put me on their list and I get their chatter, what I thought that I'd do is I weigh in. Now, first of all, let me say this. I do not expect everyone that is called by the name that I'm called by to agree with me. I'm not looking for agreement. I'm looking to answer Scott's question to the best of my ability. First of all, let me say this. I don't know one person on the planet, one person that has ever lived on this planet that was ever created by God, and this narrows the playing field, doesn't it? Because everybody on the planet was created by God, unless we spawned from a bullfrog or something like that. You know, we're not human. If we're human beings, Homo sapiens, then God created all of us. As a matter of fact, I'd like to throw this answer into the mix for you. Satan, the devil, evil, who created that? God did. Did God love his creation there? Wait a minute. God would never, if God is truly God. And we're just thinking, if God is truly God, would God ever create anything that he did not love to create? I'm pausing because I want you to think. Would God ever create anything that he would regret creating? And I mean regret in the way that we humans use the term regret. Because if God created anything or anyone or any entity and he regretted that he created it, then he could not have been God, because he should have known how it was going to turn out and that he would regret it, if you get my drift. So, you know, I start off with this because I want to answer Scott's question to the best of my ability. And so what I'm doing is I'm thinking with the mind that God has given me. God created me, my parents, my grandparents, and their parents, all the way back to boom, 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 boom. If we are believers in the Bible, all the way back to Adam, right? The first parent. So therefore, was my first parent a sinner? The first parent is Adam. Yes, he was. Did God love Adam? Yes, he did. Now, let's bring the question, Scott's question, up to today. Does God love the sinner and hate only his sin? I would even like to take the second part of that question to another level, and I want you to think about it with me. That God knew that the sinner, quote unquote, whomever that is, and I'm looking at the Christian definition of it, a person that habitually practices rebellion against that God has instituted as his just law, not based upon man's interpretation of what a just law is, but based upon that from God. Wherever God lives, wherever God is, I don't know where that is. If you tell me that you know where it is, you're out of your mind. You're going to say in heaven somewhere, and I'll say, where's that? You don't know. I think that one of the first things that we have to admit, well, let me go to the scripture. And a first scripture that I'd like to read would be John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what is Jesus saying? He says, do you want to be involved in the love of me? Then keep my commandments. Now, keep it in mind what James wrote in the book of James. He that knoweth to do the good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, you've got to know what his commandments are. I'd also like to point out that God is sovereign. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, it says, but it is because the Lord loves you. Now, you have to figure out who this person is that the Lord loves. We know since it's the book of Deuteronomy, he's not talking to Christians because there were no Christians then. And so if it's the book of Deuteronomy, we know that it was written by Moses. So it had to be some nomadic tribesmen, the Hebrews, all right? But because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath which he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. So this has to be the Hebrew people, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So we see that God loves the Hebrews. Were they sinners? Well, of course they were. They weren't Christians. Let's go to the next one. I'm just trying to answer the question. You're just going to let the Bible do the answering for me. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15, it says, yet the Lord set his heart in love upon your fathers and chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as at this day. Do you know what this verse is saying? If you really want to answer the question, does God love the sinner and hate the sin? Well, it appears this way because Israel was a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people whom God continuously loved. And so, you know, thus far, it's a good question. I love the question. God's love is great. When you see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God who is rich in mercy. Now, this, see, let me share something with you. I was in a meeting with other believers. I won't give you the date, the locale, or anything like that. But I was in a meeting with a group of other Christians, and there was a statement made about some sinners. And in this meeting, practically every Christian or professing Christian that I was sitting around laughed at the sinners. Laughed at them. They laughed in mockery at the sinners. I have to tell you the truth. I was outraged. I really was outraged. Because I've been teaching for years that if we are children of God, all right, if we, and that's why I found Scott's question this morning when I got up and checked my email, I found this question exhilarating to my soul because, you know, it brought me back to this gathering that I was in. And I said, well, if God loves the sinner, surely the church doesn't. That's what I got out of it. You know, the church doesn't. Or the church is not loving like God wants them to love. And I think that that's some of the, and Scott, if you're listening to my answer, you know, you can give me a call here in the office or email me, and I'm not going to debate with you about it. But the question isn't whether God loves the sinner. I believe that God does love every creature that he's created. Al Capone, I'm just mentioning Adolf Hitler. Yes, Osama bin Laden, some of the people that died in the World Trade Center. I don't want you to get it twisted. That there's sinners all around us, everywhere. God loves all these people. And thank God he isn't like us humans, because he would judge and weigh us without the drop of a hat. And I also thank God that he is nothing like we human beings are, especially those of us that think that we have a gold card on morality. That I ask a couple of questions. I just cleared my website of all of those annoying questions that I had up for the Christians. If you're really a Christian, would you take anyone in and help them out for a couple of days during the holiday season? I recall when I was pastoring Vet, it was Grace Community Church, I think was the church. John MacArthur's church had a missions thing for their students at the Master's College. And they had to go on a missions week. Either they go to Mexico and help somebody build a mud hut, something like that. Or John came up with a great idea for some of the Master's College students, that if they would partner up with inner city churches, non-white churches, and spend a week living in the homes of some of the black people in the inner city churches. And I recalled a couple of years in a row, I had no less than, it must have been how many? Because they were camping, I think 4 to 6 men that were thinking about getting into the pastorate. No, I had three men, because they kind of like bunkered in one room here. The girls were in one room, Lucy and I was in the other room. And they camped out in the third room, and my study was out in the garage. So these guys were living in the house with me. These three white guys whose fathers were pastors, and they thought that they were going to be pastors. So I said, well, what you're going to do is you guys are going to stay with me. And certain members of the congregation had other of the students stay in their homes. Now, certain members of the congregation were not rich. They stayed in apartments in the middle of the hood. There was drive-by shootings, helicopters. As a matter of fact, I remember specifically one female white student could not take it. After the first night, she got in her red pickup truck and left and went back to the Master's College and said, I can't take it. Well, how in the world are you going to be an overseas missionary dealing with, and you can't even deal with in the inner cities? You're in a safe apartment. I tell you what it was, didn't count the cost. And anyhow, those two periods, I think, were the greatest part of ministry that I had ever experienced at the Vet, when we had that exchange of students. So that's why it's commonplace for me to ask someone at Christmas time, you call yourself a Christian, you want to help somebody, right? So since you want to help somebody, wouldn't it be practical for you to take them in your home? Simple thing. Isn't that a very simple suggestion, to take them in your home? Why wouldn't? And I want to ask all of you that are listening to me, seriously, if you had the room, since the question is, does God love the sinner and hate only his sin? Would it be a sin for you to have an extra room in your house? And you know that you could help that person, take them in, get them out of the cold one night, feed them a nice meal, let them bathe, shower, use your toilet, your towels. Now, let's say that you're a professing Christian and you refused to do that and could have done it. You could have done it. Would you call yourself a sinner? See, See, that's what I mean. You got to be very careful about the questions. And Brother Newman, I'm not saying that your question was a rhetorical one, but Pastor John is taking the question to another level. I want to take it to another level because the issue is not about the sinner. Because in most cases, when we think about who the sinners are, they're the Muslims. They're the ones that won't bow the knee to Jesus Christ. The sinner is that person that won't agree with our doctrinal understandings or that won't confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Those are the sinners to us. No, I am apt to differ with you. A sinner Origen's definition, the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to his creator by faith. That's Saint Origen. That is the greatest definition of what a sinner or who a sinner is. A sinner is a person that refuses to conform to the revealed will of God. Because as that person refuses to conform to what God has revealed to him that he or she should do, they are saying adamantly, outwardly, and visibly that they do not want to be united with, quote unquote, Jehovah in this sense. Now let's answer the question. Let's answer the question. Does God love the sinner and hate only his sin? Now, let's all put ourselves in that question and see if we have conformed to the revealed will of God. And I think that by doing that, we'll have the answer to that question. And it would cause us to stop, as our Jive Time pastors have taught us, to stop looking at the Muslims. Stop looking at the Jehovah Witnesses. Stop looking at the Joel Osteens. Stop looking at all those other people that are obviously twisted in their understanding about things. And I want you to pick up the mirror of God's word and put it right in front of your faces, our faces. It was a wonderful thing last night. I was talking before I, wait a minute. Let me get into some more scriptures because I think that the scriptures are my sources here. We're talking about God's love. It says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." Now, who is the you in this? I believe that the you in this verse is anyone, any person that what? Will conform his life to the will of God in their life. Now, you know, we're going to take this question further because we're going to take it to the book of Isaiah. Excuse me, chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." That's the Lord talking about people. "Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." This is God talking about his love that he has. We love to read Romans chapter 8, verse 39, where it says height, depth, or anything else, anything in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever had so-called Christians, religious people in the church try to tell you? They're always telling me They're always telling me, oh, God doesn't love you because you don't do this or you don't do that or you do this or you do that. You know, I just look at these people and I'm saying, where in the heck do these people? Wait. And you know what really gets to me? When I have people that haven't been Christians, how many fingers you got on your hand? You got 8 fingers on both hands because 2 of those are thumbs, so I'm not counting those. But you have 8 fingers on both hands. Some folk have not been Christians that long. And they're going to look at a person like me and tell me, haven't lived through trials, difficulties, anything. You need to listen to older people. Older people. God. It is impossible for God not to love. It is impossible because God is love. And this love is manifested. Okay? It's manifested towards his saints, the Christians, and it's manifested towards the destitute. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Oh, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. Isn't that what I was asking during this holiday time? Are you willing to give them food and clothing? Well, no, I'm leaving. Right. Is that sin? Is it sin for you not to help? You want to know something what makes America great? And I'm talking about just, you know, the principles that make America great. I hear a lot of the banter that goes on about our Southern brothers and sisters are from, what do they call them? The red states as opposed to the blue states. And you know, when they talk about having the caucuses in Iowa and all that and all those white people down there. Let me tell you something. If you study the history of this nation, I mean, honestly study it and see where most of the caregivers were that helped people. It came from the people in the red states. It really did. It didn't come from the liberal states. No. Business came out of the liberal states. I'm talking about those Christian belief systems that were deep. Even in the deep South, where slavery reigned supreme. I know this makes a lot of black nationalists curl up their toes when they hear language like this. But slavery was a given in this country like it was in the time of Christ, like it was in the time before Christ. There has been slavery all over the place. But there has been some people in every history of slavery that were manifesting Christian principles as such as they knew how, without compromising themselves. Many, many of them gave their lives for the sake of the other human beings that happened to be of a different nationality, if you will, or of a different skin color. There has always been people that were utilitarian in their ideas to help other people. So that's not the question. So I hope that I answered it for you. And the question again, I just, Scott, thank you for it. Does God love the sinner and hate only his sin? Put the mirror up. Hold it up in front of yourselves. And answer the question, have you done all that God has told you to do? See, this is before you can go out there and judge anybody else that's not a Christian the way that you are. And as you rightly judge this, answer the question. Because if you do it that way, you will not, and I'm serious when I say this, if you do it that way, you will not make the same mistake that so many people have made in their faith over the years by judging others and calling them sinners. And you know what? There's somebody that was telling me the other day, he said, did you know why a friend of mine told me that he would never, ever go to a church? And I asked him, no, why did he tell you that he would never, ever go to a church? He says, because they all, once they find out who I am and what I do, they all judge me as a sinner. And the man said that his friend said, there was absolutely no way for me to fight against all that judgment coming at me at one time. Well, I got some news for you. I will never, ever judge anyone. Number one, I can't. I don't have the divine aura of divinity that gives me the right. So what I do is I go to my holy book, if you will, because that's what it is. It's a book that gives me guidance, and I read what the ancient writers who wrote under inspiration. All of you may not believe that, but I believe that the Bible, 66 books, are inspired by God. I don't believe that because some denomination teaches me that, or some church teaches me that, or some dude taught me that I should do that. I believe it because the truths of the scriptures have worked in my life for all of my Christian experience. It is now 2012, and I became a Christian in 1967. Now, you do the math. That's what I'm going to follow. And every day when I open up the mirror of God's Word and I look at myself, and I know who I am and what I'm all about, I ask God to forgive me, this sinner. Scott, I'm not asking you to stop asking questions like that. I would love to hear your response to what I just said, and how you think it would cause the Christian church to feel if most of us would across that way. Thank you for coming to my website. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles. Look forward to more webcasts. Oh, by the way, Thursday, Mark Ramsey and Bob Klink will join me for the Thursday webcast. It should be up Friday, the first one of the year. God bless.